Mr. President, dear colleagues, first of all, I wish you, all of you, a happy new year. As simple as that, and I wish it for you personally, and I wish it for our union in these difficult times. As the last European Council is already a month behind us, let me remind you that I already give each time a full report to your Conference of Presidents on the results of the European Council just a few hours after every meeting. At the December European Council, we focused on the first day on economic issues and the second on foreign policy. On economic policy, we reached some important conclusions. First, we decided on the proposal for a limited treaty amendment required to establish a permanent mechanism to safeguard the financial stability of the Eurozone as a whole. And following our agreement in principle in our October meeting that such a treaty change is needed, I had consulted the members of the European Council about its possible wording and content. It secured agreement on a text consisting of two sentences to be added to Article 136 of the treaty. And I quote, "The member states whose currency is the euro may establish a stability mechanism to be activated if indispensable to safeguard the stability of the euro area as a whole. And the granting of any required financial assistance under the mechanism would be made subject to strict conditionality," unquote. It is an essential piece in our efforts to make Europe more crisis-proof. It is important not just for legal certainty, but also for market credibility. As this amendment will not increase the competences of the Union, all members of the European Council agreed that it was appropriate to use a simplified revision procedure. And this now requires an opinion from your Parliament, as well as from the European Commission and the Central Bank. We hope to secure your approval. I need hardly remind you of the importance of proceeding as rapidly and as smoothly as possible in this matter in a period where market volatility remains a concern. I know that you and your responsible committees have been following this matter closely, not least during the work of the Task Force on Economic Governance, which I chaired and which gave rise to meetings between myself and the seven chairs of the parliamentary committees most involved. And I would like to thank President Buzek for his contribution on this on the European Council and for informing us of Parliament's willingness to proceed quickly in considering this matter. With the benefit of your opinion, the European Council will be able to turn this draft decision into a full decision at its March meeting. And then the treaty amendment will have to be approved in each member state. The aim is for the amendment to enter into force the 1st of January 2013 at the latest, so that the permanent mechanism itself can be in place in June 2013. The European Council also examined what could be the key features of the future mechanism. Already in October, we had asked the Commission to undertake the preparatory work, and this resulted in a statement by the Eurogroup finance ministers of the 28th of November, which was fully endorsed at the European Council meeting. It foresees that the future European stability mechanism will be designed on the basis of the current mechanism, so IMF involvement is provided for. The European Union will continue to adhere strictly to standards IMF and international practices. Concerning the role of the private sector, decisions will be taken on a case-by-case basis, so private sector involvement will not be a prior requirement for support under the future stability mechanism. And finally, the European Council also had a very good and in-depth exchange of views on recent economic developments and how to deal with the challenges for all European economies, short-term and long-term. The President of the Central Bank was also present, and a statement by the heads of state and government of the Eurozone and the EU institutions present was welcomed by the European Council. This discussion confirmed the sense of determination and unity amongst the member states and the institutions. Everybody around the table shared the basic analysis. I insist all 27 agree, even if the analysis focuses particularly on now 17 euro countries. We thus have a joint will to make our economies more resistant to crisis and to enhance structural economic growth in Europe. Let me mention the elements of this joint approach, which reflects the statement adopted. 3 points concern work to be done by the national governments. First, fiscal responsibility. Second, stimulating growth. And third, the two countries which support programs are forcefully implementing the necessary measures, and we all welcome the efforts of those two governments, Greece and Ireland, and their populations. And 2 other points concern work to be done by the Member States and the institutions of the Union together. First, the European Council asks the other institutions, not least your Parliament, to make sure that the agreements reached in October on the basis of the task force which I chaired regarding the Stability Pact and the macroeconomic surveillance be in place by the summer. It is our common duty. And second, we agreed to conduct new stress tests in the banking sector to ensure full transparency in the broader context of the EU annual exercise. Our determination is clear. The heads of state and government of the Eurozone and the EU institutions, and I quote again, stand ready to do whatever is required to ensure the stability of the Eurozone as a whole, unquote. Work is going on to develop these elements on the overall approach. On the second day of our meeting, we focused on our relations with strategic partners. Cathy Ashton presented progress reports on how to deal with strategic partners, and I briefed colleagues about the positive outcome of 3 recent summit meetings, namely the summit with President Obama, where we opened new avenues for transatlantic cooperation on growth, jobs and security, such as green growth and cybersecurity. The summit with President Medvedev, in which we reached a bilateral agreement on Russia's WTO accession, a major achievement. And the summit with Indian Prime Minister Singh, which showed good progress for an ambitious and balanced free trade agreement, hopefully with a result in the first semester of this year. And the summit produced also a joint declaration on international terrorism. These meetings all showed that for our partners, the European Union is not only an economic union and a trade bloc, but also a geopolitical partner. The European Council also decided to give Montenegro the status of candidate country. It underlines the conviction within the European Council that the countries of the Western Balkans have a European vocation. And finally, we agreed also on the position on Côte d'Ivoire, in line with what the Ministers of Foreign Affairs decided a few days previously, sending a clear signal on the need to respect the results of democratic elections. As you know, the European Council, the 4th of February, will deal principally with our growth agenda. Innovation and energy, especially energy security, are key in this regard. And in March, we will have our first exercise of what is called the European Semester. It must not be a bureaucratic process, but a real occasion to have an in-depth discussion on the state of play of our economy and the actions to be taken. Dear colleagues, we know, of course, that we have to strengthen and deepen economic coordination and convergence inside the Eurozone. We will work as much as possible in a comprehensive framework, and I'm convinced we will find the necessary consensus. Thank you for your attention.
President, colleagues, allow me to make some positive comments first. I do apologize for being positive at some time, at some moment in time. Well, economic growth is much stronger than what we thought was going to be the case a couple of weeks and months ago. In certain countries, unemployment is going down. Now, who would have believed that in 2008 and 2009? Now, for the European Union, globally speaking, as of 2010, 2011, employment will start growing after one of the most severe crises in the last 70 years. Now, we hadn't expected that either. We hadn't expected that some months ago, and this is actually happening at the moment. Now, there's another point I'd like to make. There is, of course, a crisis, but our common currency, of the currency of the 17 countries, is stable because it is at an exchange rate compared to the US dollar of 130. There was a time when it was not 0.85. Well, nobody at that time said that the euro was in danger. Now, if you compare this to other continents, other major currencies, we have a balance of payments on a current account, which is balanced. And if we compare the situation to other major countries, we have a budgetary deficit, which is just about half. So this is the reason why, despite all our problems, the euro is a stable currency. Let me just underline this point before I move on to some other subjects. Of course, we are aware of the fact that we need to make progress. But at the same time, we need to know this, and I already said this when I came to Parliament at the last opportunity. Colleagues, we started this crisis of the Eurozone. It is a crisis of the Eurozone, not of the Euro. We started this without the appropriate tools, appropriate instruments. We more or less had to invent this as we went along. This is a collective responsibility, but this at the same time explains why we couldn't go as fast as we would have wanted at the beginning, and we weren't as fast as the circumstances asked us or required us to do. There was a growth and stability issue which was not respected. We had no crisis mechanisms, not a stable one, not a temporary one. We didn't have strong institutions for financial monitoring and surveillance. We had to really invent all of this as we went along, and this is therefore a collective responsibility. Some of you said it's not enough and it's too late. Too little, too late. But the fact that we had no instruments clearly indicates that we weren't so much in a structure of too little, too late. We were talking about a step-by-step approach, and that, I think, explains everything. A second point I'd like to raise, some of you said, yes, okay, well, this crisis is not under control. Look at the trends on the market. But at the same time, others, or possibly the same people, say, look, you cannot be dictated by the markets either. Now, that is either one, you've got to either take one or the other, but it is never all that consistent. So what about the measures that we've taken? Of course, there are reforms that need to be introduced in the different member states, and I'm not just talking about those who are faced with the problems, but I'm referring to all member states. Reforms to create growth and to create jobs. And of course, many of these reforms are difficult to take. It is tough to put them into practice, and you need to do a good job in making sure that you get a fair distribution of the burdens that need to be shouldered. But certain countries, large countries that are rapidly coming out of the crisis, these countries have took measures four, five, or six measures 6 years ago. They took tough measures at the time, and at that moment in time, they were faced with a lot of resistance from the social partners. But it did have an effect. It had an effect on growth. It had an effect on job creation. So sometimes you need to go through difficult times, but you do need to continue making efforts to make sure that there is a fair distribution. There is a clear example of this in the Union, and this is the right approach. That is definitely proof of it. We need to get reforms in the individual member states, and we also need to find reforms within the European Union and the Eurozone in particular. That is why it is extremely important to introduce economic governance as soon as possible. This is what we decided in the task force, and we discussed this on the basis of proposals tabled by the Commission and the Parliament, and we need to reach an agreement between all those involved in co-decision. This is certainly very urgent. Now, if it is necessary to go even further within the Eurozone for the convergence of economic development and economic policies as a whole, well, we need to do this. If we can do this between in agreements within countries of the Eurozone, we need to think about this, we need to work on this, so that at the end of the day, we can, within the coming weeks and months, conclude this. But perhaps we need to go even further than that in the Eurozone, much further than what was decided in the task force involved in the preparing of proposals. Because if you have a common currency, of course, you need economic policies that you have in common as well, and economic developments which go hand in hand in all countries of the Eurozone. Have we forgotten structural growth? No, we have not, because in the heat of the crisis in March, we decided on the 2020 strategy. That is why we, in the coming days, in the February Council, we will talk about innovation, we will talk about energy, because amongst all the problems that we're faced with in this crisis, we must also look at the future, future outlook, structural outlook, growth outlook, and employment creation. And in the very short term, we are preparing a global approach on the strengthening of those instruments that we prepared in 2010 in order to alleviate the problems of the crisis. So we have a clear agenda in front of us. Can we go faster? Yes, we can. But I already said this. There are two problems here. The first one is that we had to start from scratch. And secondly, because this is a democracy, we need there to be a consensus between the 27 member states, the 27 democracies. Colleagues, those who support the European project are very clearly a majority in this parliament. So don't try to bicker about who's more European, because after all, there is a division between those who support the European project and those who do not. But what I do believe is important, despite all the difficulties that we have, we need to keep the directions we've taken in mind. We need to move clearly in that direction, and we need to work together, moving in the same direction. And this was mentioned very clearly during the December Council. That is the reason why, with this step-by-step gradual approach, we will get there. I am convinced that we are moving in the right direction. I'm also convinced that there is a common will, and I'm also convinced that at the end we will succeed. Thank you.